Nalindilele pakumfwa kamangu kababemba kalila.
Through this song, I remember and celebrate the life of Zambia's unsung heroes. I remember Robinson Puta, Titus Mukupo, Lawrence Katilongu, Michael Chileshe, Patu Simoko, Timi Mvula, Teddy Chilambe, Spox Chola, Brian Chiwangu, Godfrey Chitalu, Alex Chola, and the unnamed mothers, daughters, and sisters that have inspired us all for the greater good of this country. So hear me out.
Freedom Day in the continent of Africa, and this weekend it's Memorial Day in the great United States. We do thank you from wherever you are listening us from. It's 8:04 in Central Time in the U.S. It's, I believe, 15:04 in Zambia and the western parts of Australia. It's evening time, and we do thank you for joining us. Everybody from wherever you are calling us from. First of all, we want to say Zambia Block Talk Radio that we commend and congratulate our colleagues at all the organizations of Zambians abroad for a successful convention, and also recognizing the work that we do and the award that they granted us or awarded us through a voting system which was decided by the delegates and people like that. So OZA leadership and OZA family, OZA members, we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We do appreciate your recognition of our work. Also, to a colleague and friend who is also a contributor to this forum, Casey Cletus, please get well soon. And I trust that everything is okay with you. All right, this is Africa Freedom Day special feature. And we will be going to Lusaka to talk to our friends and our colleagues down there about some issues. Dr. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, my brother. How are you and my Zambia Blog Talk Radio family?
We are doing just fine. How have you been? Has your email changed?
No. It's the same one. I'll send it to you again.
Okay, because I have sent a few emails and they are bouncing back.
I'll send you it again.
Okay, please do. Dr. K, good morning.
Good morning, my friends. How are you today?
How are you? Doing well, doing well. It's good to hear from you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And what we are doing today is we will talk to Uncle Daniel. Let's say good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Nkama, and our guest is on the line.
Our guest is on the line. Okay, here is the issue, Dr. Kasonso and Dr. Patrick and everybody listening to us. We are calling this Africa Freedom Day special feature. We did not promote the show or say anything about our guest because we've been having challenges every time we try to have this guest. There's a lot of interference from somewhere. Okay, Vinny, good afternoon. Is it Vinny that's well funny?
Sorry, it's Mr. Vinny who's on the line.
Okay. Hi, Vinny, how are you?
Let me try him again. Maybe something happened again. I'm not sure. Let me try him.
Okay. Yeah, like I'm saying, I'm talking to Dr. Kasonso and Pastor Dr. Patrick here about the challenge of having this guest. Dr. Kasonso, this is the PF Radical Youth. You know, the ones who have stood up to the leadership of the party and to challenge and speak to the irregularities, corruption, and all the ills that are going on in the governance system and style of the PF government. These guys have refused to quit or to leave the party. They've decided to stay. And they are saying the party can be reformed. This wasn't late Michael Sata's vision. So every time we try to speak to this young man, it doesn't work. So I did tell him, I said, I told him there's interference. Of course, you know that there's interference. So he changed his number. And then I told him we can do a special Africa Freedom Day special feature without advertising on social media. So this is the challenge that is going on here. Anyway, your reflections on Africa Freedom Day, Dr. Kasonso. I don't know whether you followed what happened in Zambia at State House.
The people were being awarded. But I saw the headlines, but I didn't. I read. My favorite celebrators of Africa Freedom Day are Nigerians. Mm-hmm. And in Nigerian English, they say Africa Freedom Day. Yeah, so then they wear the boobos and they are lifting things in the air and stuff. Yeah, it's a good thing to commemorate Africa Freedom Day, and it coincides with Memorial Day weekend here in the United States. So it's... the honor of, you know, the sacrifices that were made in the revolt. It's the spirit of a people desiring to have self-government. And I think that battle of Africa Freedom Day must be able to continue because, like you've mentioned, this PF group and stuff like that, Yeah, technically, I've also have not quit PF because mm-hmm. PF is the only political party after which I joined whilst I was in Zambia, actually, before it was in government. He wanted to put the country together and slap it with something great that he wanted to do. There is a Zambia that he had in his head. What we have is nothing like it. And, you know, we sound like, bitter sour grapes every time we're whining about it. But it's the truth. That's not what we have.
Dr. Kasonso, let me find out if it's Vinny with us. Hello, Vinny.
Okay.
Hello, how are you?
Vinny, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
How are you doing, sir? We finally managed to get through. Let's hope there will be no interruptions.
Thank you very much. No, I'm doing fine. I'm doing very, very fine.
Excellent. Excellent. Let me begin by saying, Vinny, who took you to court? Who took the... Could you first tell our listening audience, just for refreshing our memories, which group you represent?
The group that intercepted the Mukula trucks that were destined for sale outside Zambia. And that was a PF group, a youth mm-hmm. group for PF. It's called Countrywide Youth. Then afterwards, when we took the documents to the lawyers who in this, Mr. Kelvin Wadakube,
mm-hmm.
consequently, we were asked to pick which people were supposed to go to court, as in to the police, because the police had summoned us to say they wanted to question us. So we went with all of us, me, myself, as Zeni Musonda, Fanny Zimba, Augustine Mukuka, and Chipiri Robinson.
Mm. So what was the outcome? I don't know. Can we talk about this? Are we allowed to talk about this?
Yeah, I think we are. The thing is, we can talk about it, but I don't know to which extent. But if you say I refresh the memory of the people, I think it's good that people know exactly what transpired. I think for the interest of the people and the listeners out there, it's good that they know what transpired.
Yeah. So you've had a court case going on. I want to be very careful here when you're discussing issues in court so that we don't put you in a situation where you're in contempt of court. You had a court case going on. What was that about? Who took who to court?
We were told Zafiko had lost. Initially, they said it was Zafiko. That's basically what we were told. Zafiko had taken us to court, and the complainant was said to be a Mr. Skaundi.
Okay. So what has the case been concluded or closed?
Before we can escalate to that, can I just give a brief thing?
Please go.
Yeah. So when the first charge that they said it was safety, we had stolen a phone worth 6,000 kwacha and $1,300. Yeah, then when we went to court, it partially changed because there came in an issue of us having stolen also 18,000 kwacha, a phone with 6,000 kwacha, and $1,300, which came to the total amount of 36,000 kwacha. We started going to court. First, we were given mention. Then they said commencement of trial. The state was never ready to commence with trial. For about three times, they were adjourned. The state was just never ready. They would say the state is not ready, the prosecutor is not there. Then on the 23rd of March, when we went there, the state said that they were not ready to continue with the case of theft. They were applying to substitute the case, as in the charge. And they substituted the charge and said it was now aggravated robbery. That's how, because aggravated robbery in Zambia is not a bondable offense, neither is it even bailable.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. And then what happened after that?
Yeah, so that's how our bonds were revoked, because we were on police bond by then. Our police bonds were revoked, and we were consequently incarcerated at Chimbokaila, which is a Lusaka Central Prison.
How long were you in there?
Days.
What?
We were there for 49 days. Yes. And after that, when they brought the case depositions, which is supposed to show the statements of the witnesses, our statements as an on and caution statements, because they record on and caution statements when they arrest you. All those things are missing in the deposition, and we appeared in court on the 7th of May. That was just formation and setting of dates. Then we were again adjourned to 10th of May. Then the state entered Enole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the status. They entered Enole. That's where we are as of now. Yes.
What? How many of you were incarcerated? How many of you spent 49 days in jail?
Well, we were the four of us. One lady, that's Fanny Zimba. Myself, Benny Msonda. My colleagues, Mukuka Augustine and Robinson Chipili.
Okay. And you are basically the ones in the forefront of that Mukula track, isn't it?
I wouldn't basically say who are the ones that were in the forefront, because when the police brought the summons, the friend said they wanted just people that they can question. Then the lawyer said, I can't go with a bandwagon of all the youth that were there, because some of them were not even known. Some of them were basically from Shimavala area there, you know? Like PF is... it's a group that is supported by a lot of people. So when people hear, like, oh, there's a PF thing going on, you cannot identify each and every individual that is there.
It's true. It's very true. Vinny,
so
what has this...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, I said go ahead, finish your statement.
Yes. So when this whole issue came up in the first place, like I was saying, in the first place, when we were incarcerated the first at Central Prison, as in Central Police, that's the Lusaka Central Police, for 4 solid days without any charge. There was basically every time they would communicate to say what we charge them with, others would say there is no yet leadership to give a position on what we should charge you with. So we were incarcerated for 4 days at the police station without giving any charge. And it basically beats me, as in, then afterwards they came up with a case of safety, you know. Then when we went to court, they substituted the issues to do with the documents. They never talked about the documents, but in their own and caution statement, they said that first we had stolen the documents belonging to Zafiko. Then they talked about... they talked about the money and everything. But when we went to court, the issue to do with the documents, we are all left out, you know.
Well, amazing.
Yeah.
What has this done? What's your relationship with the senior PF leadership right now? Where do things stand?
In the first place, for the party leadership, because no one has come forward to even tell us, okay, it's like we did something wrong. I believe we are still youths that are growing, people that can be talked to and tamed. But no one from the leadership of PF has come forward to either talk to us, even ask us, as in, how are we surviving after the incarceration? Because we are people with families. No one has asked us anything. In fact, the leadership has not spoken to us. They have not shown any concern to say these are people that were incarcerated, be it we were wrong or we were right. But at least for the leadership, they should come forward. But no one has spoken to us. But with the guys that I was with, including the media, I think I can at least assure you that these are people that are resolved to help in the party grow, helping the party do the right thing, and seeing to it that youths are empowered. Their support for the party has not withered, in as much as they feel injured, because they found a lot of problems coming out, walking out of prison. You know, 49 days is not a short period of time. It's a long period of
That's
time.
That's a long time. Yeah,
especially for youths that are not especially for youths that are not empowered like us. So we found a lot of views and everything. But we stand to say we know exactly why we joined the Patriotic Front. So it was on principle, not using emotion. Mm. So nothing has basically changed towards the stance of the party, because the party is anchored on the manifesto, not what people are doing, either currently or before that. So we still stand with the party manifesto. We are still people that can support the party, and we still support it. We have no change. But our relationship with the party leadership, you know, when people hear that there is this connection to this one and that one, that's why they've been taken to prison. I think tentatively, there are those that would avoid you, even those that would wish to help you. They are scared to come forward and say, let's help the young man and the widow that was incarcerated. But for us, we still are in the waiting process to hear. At least if even anyone can come forward from the party and say, okay, what transpired is this and this? How do we change this scenario? But no one has come forth. So the relationship still remains vague. It's not something that I can even explain to say, this is where we stand. I would be lying, because no one has spoken to us. So we don't know what the party leadership thinks of us.
Interesting. There was a time you were preparing and planning and working on holding a rally. Did that work out? How did it turn out?
The biggest problem that we faced is time you want to speak out. Before they even hear what you want to talk about, there are always these issues of either trade, either these ones. You know, people just come up. In saying this, I do not mean maybe the government itself, like our leaders, will definitely pick a phone and call you. But one or two of them will call you to advise you. But it's the way they advise you, the tone they use, which will tell you that this is not welcome. I would either be risking my freedom or be risking even my life, because the political atmosphere internally is not as conducive as it used to be. So even then, when we wanted to hold, there was that youth rally where we were supposed to bring together all the youths and everything, looking at the disintegration that has happened. There were phone calls that were made. There were these advices that were given. We did apply for even a permit, which was said first. They said, okay, you can go. And then in the last minute, they said you can't. And we had to abide by the law.
That's very true. How do you look at the relationship between the youths in the political parties? I would also want you to address this issue of the pending inter-party national dialogue which was started by the Commonwealth, ZCID is involved, and all this. First, talk about the relationship between the youths in the major political parties. What would you say about that? What's your relationship, you guys, at that level?
In the first place, there's a very huge gap, a very massive gap between a common youth. And, you know, when I talk about a common youth, I'm talking about the youth like myself and other people that are just out there on the street, and the youth that today. Because if you look at the youth positions, they are basically not even held by youth themselves. So there's a gap. There's a gap that is lacking. Yeah. There's a very, very huge gap. And a lot of youth are now even more scared to speak out, you know. They are scared even to offer advice to the party. And sadly, this is not only happening only to the PF, but it's happening in almost all organizations because there's a lot of suppression when it comes to the youth.
What?
So the youth, mostly the youth, you see them pretend because of fear. They will pretend to be okay with the current status quo. But deep down, when you sit down with the majority of them,
mm-hmm.
mostly there's a very, very big gap between the leadership and the common youth. Because usually the voters are the youth. But if you have 0.03 representation of a common youth, you're starting from cabinet to local government, you go to every level of leadership, then you find that the percentage is about 0.03. It should ring a bell. There is no way a normal youth can be happy with the situation. And this is what brings about the people thinking youths are being disrespectful, youths are being what, because no one is engaging them. Like I've just told you, we are coming from prison. We were there for 49 days, and no one has spoken to us. You know, we need cutting away from that. We even need the roadmap on how we're going to recover, because the organization we know and we subscribe to is the Patriotic Front. That's our backbone. Yeah, so if there's no one coming forth to offer leadership, there's a very big gap and a very huge vacuum. And because of fear, this is how now, you know, people seem to be quiet. Then when they come to speak, it's too late for anyone to collect the situation.
Mm. Dr. Kasonso?
Yeah.
It's very sad. What's the young man's name?
Vinny.
Vinny, what you're describing is a very sad state of affairs, where the state machinery becomes a monstrosity to even shut up young people from, you know, bringing out or speaking out their mind. It's a kabuki state. This is very annoying right now to hear what you're saying. And we cannot have a government run a country like that. It's not acceptable.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm getting you. I'm here.
It is not acceptable. Not acceptable. You know, we have to have the change. Change is imminent, you know. A country cannot be voiceless. People have feelings. People have aspirations. It's their country. You know, we are one Zambia. Young people, old people, you know, we have to have a government that we really deserve. That's not leadership. How do you put young people in a jail for exposing a crime? And that is intimidation. And where are the human rights? Where are the lawyers who lead the country? Is that the kind of Zambia we want to we wake up every Saturday morning to talk about?
I tell you.
The change is needed. We cannot have this kind of leadership. They weren't prepared to lead, and they're not willing to lead. They have a chance to lead, and they are failing to lead.
Yeah. Vinny, you want to respond to or comment on that?
Yeah, I would love to comment on that. You know, basically, one thing I've come to realize is Zambia is a rhetorical nation. We are so good at talking, so good. But something happens to those that take out the actions to correct the situation. We go quiet because we are easily intimidated. We look at others as examples. We've never looked at what our forefathers fought for us to have the freedom that we have today. And if we talk about change, I'm sorry, I do not agree when Mr. Kasonso says we need a change of government and so. What we need is a change of mindset, because we are now driving. When we were fighting the MMD to say the MMD are doing this, the MMD are doing that. But again, we are talking about MMD money getting to their heads. And now we are talking about the same thing. What has changed about us is we do not change our mindset. We don't have a change of mindset. We believe politicians are the ones that are supposed to change things. We have neglected the technocrats. You know, you cannot put a nation in the hands of people that just talk. Politicians just talk. They only have ideas, but where are the people that are supposed to implement these ideas that politicians have? They are nowhere to be seen. And when you hear, no, the boys have been arrested, those who intercepted this and that, the boys that spoke this and that, the girls that did that, this and that have been arrested, people go quiet. But it's easy to talk, but you cannot change the situation by just talking. You can't. You need to have a nation where people are practical. We always talk about our late president, Michael Chulisasatamei, so rest in peace. We always call him an action man, you know. He spoke about things that he knew he had directions to change on. I still believe there's a lot of good in the current president, but the problem is there's so much fear. And there's so much mediocrity even in the opposition that we have today, because we believe in talking rather than doing things. Why can't we start offering solutions to things that we can do? Rather than, because we will change governments and governments, but these politicians just rotate. The same people that are in PF today will tomorrow be in whatever political party will take over power. And they'll be speaking the same language, they'll just be praising. But it's the Zambians to say, this is how we want our country to be ruled. This is how we want our country to be run. The same thing we did. We rose up and said, you accept there's a ban on Mukula, and we are seeing Mukula moving. We don't want this. It was spoken, and what have they done? They have put a concession to say, okay, Zafiko will be doing. Everyone knows there's reason you're coming in through Zafiko, because Mukula is being sought through Zafiko. But if it wasn't said, if we didn't take that step, nothing was going to happen. So we will change government from A to B to Z, but if there's no change of mindset, we'll still be a stagnation.
You know, the interesting thing, Vinny, is that that is the cry of Pilato, and you are addressing things that are very clear and loud out there. Our leaders, politicians do not want to listen. They don't want to listen. Immediately they get into power, they become different human beings than those who were campaigning. So, let's talk about this. What do you think is the way forward? Mindset. And to be very honest with you, me, I've gone on record to say, even if we have... I agree with you, mindset needs to change. So what are the steps that we need to take to make sure that these things don't repeat themselves? Because they keep repeating themselves. Like you referred to MMD, we came to PF, we've never seen any difference.
Yeah. In the first place, we need to change how our institutions are run. There is no way when someone wants a job, they have to know a political. To a politician, no. We need to start respecting technocrats. We need to start respecting these professionals that do the work. Politicians, yes, they have a mandate to give a policy direction, but that policy polishing up and the policy implementation should be left to the technocrats, and they should be given the security that they need. You are not going to have the judiciary is being intimidated by politicians. That's wrong. You are not going to have a mining industry that is intimidated and given a direction by decisions to make by politicians. That's wrong, because politicians by nature are biased. They want things to be done according to the way they feel and think this is how it should be, so that it suits them. But Zambia belongs to Zambians. It does not belong to politicians. They are just a minority of Zambians. The majority of voters that wake up with babies on their back, leaving out their sons to go and just cast their vote because they care for the nation. They want a leadership that will bring policies on the table that will at least, if it does not change to the better of their lives, at least it should improve their lifestyles. But we have given so much power to politicians such that even when they do something wrong, they'll move on the road without road tax. You know, they will intimidate anyone they so wish. Why? Because you have not empowered these institutions. The moment we pass laws to empower these institutions, I'll give you an example of the health bill that is being tabled before Parliament. People have not taken any interest. How many people are employed? Before they can pass that law, as in that bill to become law, why don't they first make it a policy to say every graduate that graduates from the university, from a college, should have a job and should be on a salary? Because where are they going to get the money to pay health insurance? Because they don't have the capacity to do that. But because we are so much engaged into politicking, we are so much engulfed in petty politics rather than the things that will move this nation, Zambia has remained stuck. Even with, you know, mine, the moment you move out of Zambia and you're a professional, you'll be appreciated. But look at here. Professionals are not appreciated. We appreciate criminals more than we appreciate professionals because you have not given them the working space. We haven't. So that's in the first place, we need to empower. We need to empower the institutions. Give these institutions autonomy. Where if someone, for instance, starting with the IG, go to the DPP, go to these teaching council, go to health council, all these institutions should have the capacity and the power to say, okay, this we cannot agree, this we agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's me why you find drugs in hospitals going bad because the government oversourced. Why should the government oversource when we have doctors that should know the lifespan of this medicine is for a year or 2 years? But because there's a politician somewhere pressing the buttons to say if you oversource, that's when I'll get the cut from there. That's how we are destroying this nation. And we keep on saying, you know, you cannot have a majority of 11 million plus people condemning people that are sitting in cabinet who are just 35. That's wrong. It beats me. It really beats me because the voice of the majority is the voice of God. And we are the people that put these people into power. If we say they cannot listen, we have a right to sit them down and say, if you are not listening, we'll vote you out. But then the biggest problem has been the same people who voted out have come back in different shows by using praise and worship.
But so we comment, question?
Comment. Thank you, Mr. Nkama, and thank you for bringing Vini on the show today. It's heartening, I mean, listening to him and some of us who have been a little bit in that kind of situations back home. To listen to him, you know, talking about him being incarcerated and then coming out. No, I don't know the situation, the way things are back home right now. No counseling, no what, you know. And the people we look to for leadership, they are the ones who's misusing the power. You know, these young men, they were being accused of something else and be charged with something else, then they let them just go. But at the same time, you know, and the reason I'm saying this, Mr. Nkama, is some of us, when we traveled and when we came here, and I hope you guys don't get tired of me saying this, it's every time, just like yesterday, when we listen to the lawyer about the case that is going on. And every time you listen to something, you learn, because, you know, they want to educate the masses too about Weinstein, the guy who was charged. You know, the lawyer said, I know there's a bad behavior there, but I'm not here to protect. I'm here
you know, to point out if there was any harm done, you know, if there was an injury. You know, it's not the first time I've heard about it. It's, if it, there was an injury or harm done to another person, then, you know, we'll see what we can do. But look at this young man. They did not kill anybody. They did not cause any harm. But you incarcerate them, and then you just let them. You bring them out. And nothing, and then the MP, the people are supposed to represent. Some of us, the way we talk to is because we follow, like, I'm just going to mention Gadi, McCain, and all kind of those people who stand up for their for their states. You know, here the MP is not even going to go and even visit or come, or just talk to the to the young men and tell them the reason is this. But the MPs, and the reason we give them, the MPs, they're supposed to represent people because those guys, no matter what, if they're following everything, they will never be taken to court. They will never be prosecuted. They're given power to stand up in the parliament, even to challenge the president when they're debating, because they have been given that power to protect. But here, look at the way the young people are suffering. Mm-hmm. And you sometimes I bang my head because it's like we are not a nation. Look at the way things are in South Korea. When someone is pregnant, they leave the seat for them. They take care of them. They take care of their own. And as a Zambian growing up in that country, I know our young men. How it was to be a young person in Zambia, you know, and you know, kitchens and the way things are going.
It's very sad. It's very sad. Vinny, thank you, Yama. Vinny, before I let you go, I wanted you to speak to and address the issue of the deadlocked inter-party national dialogue upcoming. Others are saying ZCID does not qualify to spearhead to give direction to this. I don't know what you think. I'm speaking to you as a countrywide youth representative and member.
Yeah,
how are you looking at this picture of? Because you just said that there's not dialogue within the PF. There's a breakdown of communication. How can the national dialogue between inter-parties take place when the parties themselves are in that stake? And we're not just talking about PF. Even UPND, you can tell that it's the same challenge.
You know, this is what should worry us, especially as Zambians, either living in the diaspora or being here.
Mm-hmm.
Because wherever we go, we only have one Zambia. And what makes us proud is at least bearing that thing. Whenever we are moving, we hear the national anthem being played, we know my pride is being talked about.
Mm.
Now, the biggest problem that we have today is leaders. I think the breakdown of leadership maybe has started from home. I'm yet to understand that. It shouldn't take outsiders in the first place to remind us that there's a crisis.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. And secondly, why should people that are leading, in the first place, we're talking about leaders, people that are leading, they are not leading militia groups. These people are leading political parties which are democratical. Meaning, when they are elected, it's a majority of people that speak to put them where they are. But if these people cannot sit or agree to sit and say, okay, there's a crisis, I've contributed this to this crisis. I've contributed this to this crisis. Meaning that crisis is deeper, because then it's not just a national crisis. It has started from the party itself. The parties themselves cannot sit. In short, they are telling us that there's no democracy. There's no inter-party democracy in all the political parties. That's the more reason we are having all these problems, because if there was, there should be a consensus. There's no way today. We need the Commonwealth, we need whichever institution can come in to tell us to say, we need, you people need dialogue. No, because we are the people that are feeling the tension. But because because of lack of this intra-party democracy, there's lack of realization. And the biggest problem is when people are elected, instead of them being servants, they become more gods. This is where the problem has come from. And we should not run away from this fact. As long as this thing continues, we are headed for a bigger crisis than what we are in, because the political situation as of now entails it's becoming deeply regional than it is supposed to be. And it makes me fear for 2021. If today, in 2018, we are talking about, this is almost mid-year, we are talking about dialogue that is breaking down. Others are saying we can't come on the table because these are the mediators. It shows the level of intolerance that is there, because we have already put face to opinion to say if Veni and Fanny sit, me as Mr. Nkoloso, I can't sit there. If this one and this one sit, me and this one, we can't sit, then what dialogue are you going to have if our foreigners were to come and sit you down? You've already agreed to say me and that one cannot sit face to face and talk. So it all goes back to the type of democracy that we are practicing. It should tell the world that there's basically no intra-party democracy that is going on. Whatever it is, it's just a facade that is there put on a paper to say there's this intra whatever, these people are elected, because elected people ought to listen to those that have elected them. That's what I'm meant to believe.
I agree with you.
When you don't want to listen, when you don't want to listen to people that have elected you to run that organization. No, you cannot have a one-man show. So it's a call to all the political party leaders. They should listen to the people, because for outsiders to even notice that there's tension, they need dialogue, then it's coming from the inside. There is no way someone who doesn't live in your home would know what is happening in your home, because it has to take someone from within to speak out and say, this is what's transpiring. But no one is willing to let go of their egos. This is now just a game of egos. This one is egocentric, the other one is egocentric, and they feel, I cannot give away my egos to listen to what that one suggests.
It's true. Dr. Patrick, you've listened to this conversation. I wanted to get a comment from Dr. Patrick. He's listened to this conversation from the start. I don't know what your views are on this, Dr. Pat. Okay. I guess, his line at times is a little bit over. So from here, where do we go, my brother? Where do we go? What's the way forward? What are you... You were supposed to have a press conference. I don't know what happened to that, or it's the usual challenges of being,
It's the usual challenges. Sometimes you may be misquoted to say maybe you're putting your friends in the crossfire. So sometimes you just keep quiet. You don't say anything. Yes.
Yeah.
But moving forward, you know, Zambia belongs to Zambians. And as the president rightly put it, Zambia is borrowed from the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have the people that you have lent something giving you terms and conditions. I mean, they will never repay you. So
that's true.
The president says, we have borrowed this nation from our children. We are the children that he talks about. So we are the ones that are supposed to set terms and conditions on how this nation should be run. We have to come to a round table and agree. We do not agree with where you have 98% in our cabinet as a representation, which are gray-haired people. We cannot have a local government that is run by Asian people that do not understand today's challenges and technology changes. We cannot agree with a judiciary that is run by ancient means and everything. We need to come to a round table. And these are things I, for one, will never keep quiet about. I will not keep quiet about these things, because I believe for Zambia to be better, we all need to put in something. And in doing
that's
this, we mean no disrespect to the leadership of the party, the leadership of the nation, because the Bible tells me that every leadership that is there is ordained by God. And what God ordains, we need to respect it. But it does not mean what God has ordained, you cannot advise. No, even Jesus Christ had disciples. The more reason he had disciples, he needed helpers. So moving forward, who continued to engage the party, who continued to engage the government on various issues that are affecting the growth of this nation, and will not relent. Whatever transpired for us, as in for me specifically, it remains what under the bridge, because like they said, these are parents. For them, if they feel we did something wrong, they have not forgiven us. I mean, that's their burden. But for us, as in personally speaking, it's something that I've thought about. I've forgiven everyone that either was mentioned, whether it is true or not. I've forgiven them. And the only thing I want is to see Zambia flourish, because we are not a poor nation. We are a rich nation that can thrive if only we can all at least say, this one can put in this, this one can put in that. Even when others are speaking nonsense, let's pick out a bit of sense from the nonsense that they bring on the table.
Excellent. Vinny, I do thank you for taking time to join us, my brother. And like they say, they used to say in South
thank
Africa,
you.
The struggle continues. You know, this is your platform. You're always given an opportunity to speak here. And I also need to mention that I admire your principle to stay within the party in spite of the persecution that you undergo. Have a great weekend, my brother. And finally, I know you are listening. I just want you to know that you have physical tenacity. Father, with so many kids, you have the responsibility of the children that somebody should consider that a strong woman, my dear sister.
Thank you very much.
All right. That was Mekonda, part of the group countrywide. They are within the CPF, the group CPF, and the problem is within the party, and not the party under this from there. Okay, before I have 7 minutes, let's talk about Africa Kingdom Day, let's talk about the morning. I'm Akira.
Hello, Vanathan. Your last few sentences have not been very clear. I'm not sure if there's static on your phone, but it is clear, son.
Oh, ni phone ya malashei. Mapske.
Mali shiva. Sante ke niko.
I am doing good. Is this Lazarus, Brother Lazarus? Okay, I think this is the UK number. We have a number here from, is it, okay, it's dropped. I thought it was by Lazarus. This is Memorial Day weekend. Dr. Patrick is with us, Roger. He's been a war for some time. We're glad to have him back.
It's good to have him back. It's good to have
yes,
him back.
Yes, it's good.
You know, he is our elder statesman. We don't want to say he has some explaining to do, but we are not going to say
no,
that.
No, we just say it's good to have him back. That's it.
Yeah, it's good to have him back. Yeah.
Before I have about 5 minutes here, Dr. Patrick, you listen to Vinny. I want you to make a statement here and say something in relation to what Vinny has said, Memorial Day. Of course, in Africa, it's called Africa Freedom Day. The principle is the same. I don't know what your comments are on this, Dr. Patrick, because this is very important, especially on this weekend.
Yes, I would like to congratulate Vinny for his courage. It's not easy doing what he's been doing and what he's done. And just rest assured that he is not alone. When he makes steps, when he takes courageous steps such as these, he's not walking alone. He's walking on the foundation of youth leaders that preceded him.
That's true.
And it may appear as if he's alone, and it may appear that not only the authorities, but the world is against him, and it may be pressing. But rest be assured, Vinny, you're not alone. And stay strong, because what you're doing is being heard loud and clear, as evidenced by your contact with us. So the diaspora know of you and hear of you. And just stay strong, my young brother.
Thank you. You know, Roger, I was very shocked. I didn't even realize that they were not about Martin. I don't know how much.
Nathan, you're cutting off.
Roger, did you hear what I said?
What's happening, George?
Am I good now?
Yes.
Okay. I was saying that these guys were incarcerated for 49 days, including a widow who's got young kids. I don't know what happened to that in that situation and circumstances. It's the political scenario is very volatile, like he said. And if our leaders cannot have a conversation amongst themselves within inside of a party, I don't know how they can sit down with another political party. That was our Africa Freedom Day special feature. Let's all call back in and join Roger. Everybody, thanks for calling in. Let's call back in. We're so glad to have Dr. Patrick back. That's all we are going to say. We are not going to say he has any explanation to do. We're just happy to have him back. Okay, everybody, let's go back in and join Roger on our next segment.
Let this voice be heard across that land, spreading the message of love. We know what the past has been, not what the future holds. We trust God.